Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's talk about the IPC. So we started mentioning it earlier. Their report on hunger in Gaza, politically motivated. How flawed is it, and what does it mean now? Anne Hertzberg is a legal advisor of NGO Monitor. She's an expert in lawfare. Anne, good morning. Thanks for joining us again. Although we hardly are surprised that these figures have been corrupted, it still does come as a little bit of a shock to see the extent to which they have been manipulated, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is disturbing because you would think that these types of agencies really want to prioritize helping people as opposed to politics. And it just the mind boggles, you know, with all of these UN agencies, how, you know, UN OCHA and UNRWA, and how all of these groups are much more into fighting political war than really giving honest accounts of what's going on in order to help Palestinians. Because when they do fake data, when they refuse to liaison with the Israeli government, when they're doing everything they can to obstruct humanitarian aid efforts that are trying to keep Hamas from stealing the aid, you just begin to wonder, you know, what are these people about?
And the fact that it really is harming the people that they are claiming to care about.
Exactly.
So let's just talk about what data and indicators did they use to declare a famine? Just in case anybody doesn't really follow what we're talking about, the IPC have declared a famine in Gaza City and the area around it. They use a certain amount of indicators, data, and methodology, I imagine. What went wrong here?
Well, what it looks like has happened is and I'm not an expert in statistics, so there may be other areas that are highly problematic, but what stands out are two particular metrics. Number one is normally the UN looks at a 30% measure of food insecurity, and that's normally the level they look at in order to declare a famine. But in this case, they lowered the threshold to 15%. So for Israel, as opposed to all other situations around the world, it appears they are only requiring 15% to suffice to be considered a famine as opposed to 30%. So that's one thing. And then the other big area is, according to the UN's own definition of famine, you need to have, I believe, two deaths every day out of 10,000 per population. And by the UN's own count of deaths in Gaza, even if you were going to say every one of those deaths was attributed to starvation or famine.
Oh, and are you
their own metrics? Right. They are, you know, claiming there's a famine. So they've basically moved the goalposts to indict Israel yet again.
In terms of, I mean, the fact that they've now been called out for it, certainly, whereas we won't read it in mainstream media around the world, it is incumbent on the United Nations and the IPC themselves to respond, I imagine. Can we expect them to do so?
Yeah, I would imagine they're going to, you know, say something. But again, you know, this is really, I mean, it's been this way. And again, I haven't seen this level ever in my, you know, nearly 20 years of being in this business, where they are just on a massive propaganda campaign that started immediately after October 7th, political warfare. And so, you know, you can't really rely on anything they're saying because they've just misrepresented so many things since the very beginning, and their agenda is clear. So, you know, even if they do try to rebut it, but I think the bigger issue is, you know, when you look at the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, or the primary forms of evidence are UN reports. And they do not do any independent verification of such reports. So that's really going to be the impact of this. You know, so you have this fake report that's not going to be pulled. And now I can easily foresee now the ICJ using that as the basis to make, you know, to rule that there's genocide going on. You know, so that's what happens with these reports.
Which makes it absolutely vital then to challenge it, because how then would they use this report in a case if it has been challenged as being corrupt, but there hasn't been an adequate response? So surely it would invalidate it.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is with these courts is they don't play by rules that one would naturally assume with a court process. And they make up evidentiary rules, if they even have any, and they basically can do whatever they want. So even though this report, let's say, is debunked and it's shown to be completely fraudulent, these courts can still rely on it. And that's really the danger, because you have these bodies that have no accountability, and they also are on a political mission, like the ICJ is the UN's court. So they're going to do whatever they can to back up what the UN is saying.
It's a complete absurdity, because you create a false report, you then use it as evidence in a case that the United Nations themselves are running, knowing full well really that this report is inaccurate. And this is not the only one. We've seen this over and over again. The reason that I think it's important now is it's easier sometimes to see it in one case and understand what's happening here. But this is happening over and over again, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, honestly, I think the report was written precisely for those, you know, in large extent, for precisely these reasons, you know, in order that ICJ, you know, will be able to rely on it. You know, it's done for that purpose. And, you know, I think that's what's so disturbing. Like, these are not good faith actors.
Right.
And so, you know, when you have this going on, it is a kangaroo court. Normally you could say, like, oh, who cares what the UN says? But the problem is you do right now have a lot of governments that are, you know, relying on the UN. So the United States certainly doesn't, Israel doesn't, and maybe a couple other countries do not. But these countries are using these pronouncements for boycotts and other terrible things.
So what can Israel do? It's obviously called this out publicly. That's one thing. But what is the course of action that they could take to have this overturned?
Yeah, I mean, giving a lot of conclusive evidence as to why the report is not accurate, or has, you know, the books have been cooked. Is definitely the primary thing they need to be doing. You know, they can take retaliatory measures, you know, maybe visa cancellations or preventing, but it's difficult. The other thing I think is diplomacy, where they can meet with governments and really go through why the IPC report is wrong. But unfortunately, we're in a very hostile environment right now, where many governments and the media are just not, don't want to give any space to Israel's case. So it's just a difficult spot right now.
So how do you see this playing out?
I don't think there's a lot Israel can do. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the way I see it playing out is what I had said before, is where I think this report is going to now be, you know, cited by these international bodies to bolster their fake cases. You know, the ICC warrants, and then also the ICJ genocide case. And we'll probably end up seeing, sanctions or, could be. We'll see boycotts or other types of sanctions being placed on Israel by some countries.
Absolutely absurd. And the most frightening thing or frustrating thing is that it's clear to everybody who really cares about the truth that it is a fiction. It is, the report has been falsified, but at the end of the day, it might make very, very little difference. It certainly doesn't make any difference in the court of public opinion. Anne Hertzberg, thank you as always. Anne is a legal advisor of NGO Monitor and an expert in law.